You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February 26, 2021, the House Democrats set to pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion falsely named coronavirus relief package. Probably be passed sometime this evening. It does include a third $1,400 stimulus check for Americans earning less than $75,000 annually. Increasing jobless benefits to $400 a week through the end of August, and does other things. Very, very little in there has anything to do with actual COVID relief, but they're pushing it forward. And we still haven't used all the money that's been passed previously in COVID relief programs. No one's bothering to look and see if this is needed. It just sounds good. Send the checks out. Well, House Democrats have again passed the Radical Equality Act. They claim it will, quote, merely amend federal civil rights law to ensure sexual orientation and gender identity are protected classes. That's their claim. It is far from that. It's devastating to our nation, to our families, today, tomorrow, and the future. Affecting not only gender class discussions, but religion. I just had a very detailed discussion with that in the previous hour with Jared Stepman, an author with the Heritage Foundation, and some of the reports he pointed out. If you missed that, I strongly encourage you to pull up the first hour, Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com, as a podcast will be posted later this afternoon. In the meantime, the official Twitter account on Nabisco's Oreos stepping on board, just as the Equality Act is passed, Nabisco's Oreo put out a post saying simply, trans people exist. Okay, I don't doubt that. But we're going to change everything in this nation and destroy women's sports and frighten children and maybe force and talk children into transformation surgery because of a minute number of trans people who exist. Why Oreo cookie jumped into that? All right, the U.S. military strike against the Iran proxy forces in Syria carried out by Air Force F-15 jet fighters. Seven 500-pound laser-guided bombs. Apparently, we were going to hit a second target. But by a drone overhead, we saw too many civilians in the area, so we backed off of that. This is, again, retaliation because we've had Syria firing into, and some of these rebels in that area firing into some of our facilities, killing an American last week. Now, the response from this is very interesting. Iran, the Iranian government propaganda outlet, is suggesting that Biden decided to bomb these targets tied to Iran-backed militias in Syria because of so much numerous reports of American support for the Islamic State. What? What? Makes no sense to me, but that's their propaganda machine. And China. China has a response. And China is mocking the Syrian bombing by saying America is back. Quoting Joe Biden on his own statement, America is back. So here they are mocking it. I say it's good. I'm glad to see that he did it. I am. I'll give him praise and points for it. The Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, is underway in Florida. Numerous folks scheduled to speak. The keynote speaker tonight will be Donald Trump Jr. And just ahead of him, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. The final speaker Sunday, Donald Trump himself. Well, we know about the problems of the nursing homes in New York State. Cuomo's still trying to avoid jumping around, hiding information. Now comes word the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer's administration, also isn't apparently answering questions about nursing home policy during the coronavirus in her administration. And, of course, we continue to hear that Cuomo is being accused of sexual harassment, which he denies. Maybe it's a good time to point out here that women detained at Chinese government-run camps in Tibet are, quote, according to an online human rights magazine, women held in those Chinese government plant camps in Tibet are routinely raped. And we have more than 30 Republican House lawmakers asking Nancy Pelosi, what's with the fencing? You don't want any walls along the border, and yet you are not ordering that the fencing around the Capitol be removed? Does it make sense? Of course it doesn't make sense.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat bad production. He got walrus gumboot. He got, no sideboard. He want spinal cracker. He got feet down below his knee.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We've seen the cancel culture on full display these last few years. You know, they started when President Trump ran for president. They wanted to cancel him before he even got sworn in. Then they wanted to impeach him. And then after he's gone, they want to just act like he wasn't even president. And they want to shut down Republicans. They want to close down Fox News and Newsmax and OAN. They would sure love to get you off the air. We're not going to let that happen. But they're
Thank
serious
you.
About
Thank
it.
You.
And I think it's important. Yeah, but I think it's important, Alex, that we call them out on it and that we put the mirror in front of them and remind them what happens on some of these other networks, their darling far left radical networks, and the garbage that they're spewing.
Those are the words of Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, as he was doing an interview with Breitbart News. And talking about how the left-wing cancel culture continues to ignore who is really to blame for a lot of the divisiveness in this country. Now, Scalise does not get to this point I'm going to raise. So I want to make it clear. He does not bring this name even into the fray. But I will. I've said it previously. I haven't decided to back off of it. I haven't decided, okay, maybe I should let that go and not do that anymore. I'm talking about, I've said repeatedly that Barack Obama is a big part of the divisiveness in the country right now. Now, you can blame the conservatives. You can blame Trump, of course, going after him on the birther thing. All of that was nonsense. I'm talking about before Trump ever surfaced. I'm talking about Barack Obama when he came in. Now, I'll make it clear to you in case you have any doubt. I did not vote for him the first time, didn't vote for him the second time. But I didn't vote for him either time, not because of his color, but because of his politics. Aside from that, when he was elected a second time, I said on this program, okay, he's going to serve again, and I think this is a great time in his last 4 years. He cannot run again. Maybe he can become a real statesman and he can pull our nation together to make us better. I mean, why not someone like him? And by him, I'm being, if you want to label him as the first black president, others will say he's not really. Of course, Bill Clinton thinks he was. Others will say, well, he wasn't true black. I mean, I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but the bottom line is Obama was in for a second term, and I thought maybe he can help put an end some of this divisiveness. Now, you're not going to, I will tell you right up front, there are some who are so far radical right, racist, clear racist, Klan members and so forth, that I won't have anything to do with if they need to be called out, disputed, and fought every step of the way. And you have many on the left similar on that far, far side as well. But when you look at the rhetoric from the left, all of the divisiveness came with Donald Trump. All of it. I'm not saying you can't put some blame on him, but are you really not going to look at what happened during the Obama years, and even many black Americans that are not signed on with Trump were chastising and criticizing that they didn't think Obama did enough for the nation, certainly even for the black community, and certainly may have added to some of the divisiveness. It shouldn't have to be decided on race one way or the other, but the bottom line is I thought it was an opportunity. I was really praying at that point. I was praying that Obama would help bring more of us together. It didn't work. And, of course, I gave birth to Trump. And whether or not you like him or you consider that he is fighting people on both sides, talking about the Klan and the Proud Boys, which he wasn't, you have to acknowledge that we need to do something. We need to bring us together. And, in fact, on this very program, I chastised Rush Limbaugh, not that he could care less at that point, when he said, I hope Obama fails. I don't hope our president fails. Now, if he's going to push for some things that would change our country, yes, I don't want that to happen. But overall, I want our president to be successful so we as a nation can be successful. But Steve Scalise is saying this cancel culture that exists now is ignoring what has happened on the left from the leftist media, the leftist politicians, the leftist Hollywood elites who constantly inspire violence themselves and ignore it if it happens involving their like and kin. Steve Scalise, of course, was one of the congressmen at that ball field when a shooter showed up who had been inspired in his mind by Bernie Sanders that Scalise had to be killed. Sanders never said anything like that, and you cannot put this on Sanders. Even Scalise acknowledges that. But this guy went, and I don't mean just threw words at them and threw tomatoes at them. He started firing bullets. Could have killed Scalise and a couple of the others, except for some couple of Capitol Police guards who quickly reacted. But Scalise says the shooter was clearly inspired by the left.
I wanted to just remind my colleagues that when the shooter from the baseball field back in 2017 walked onto that field, he had a list of Republicans in his pocket that he wanted to execute. He was fueled, and I entered into the record the FBI excerpts from the FBI report where they had looked into his background, and it was far-left media personalities and politicians that inspired him to go kill Republicans. And I don't blame the politicians or journalists from the far left that inspired him with their rhetoric to go kill Republicans. I blame the shooter. But I just wanted to remind them, if you really think that canceling people because you want to blame them for other people's actions is where you're going, then let's start where it all started, and that is on the far left.
Is that too hard to consider? No, it shouldn't be. Something else there that Scalise said, he said, I don't blame them. He said, I don't blame the Democrats. I don't blame Bernie Sanders. I don't even blame directly those who might have helped inspire him to that extent. He said, I blame the shooter. Now, of course, if the situation were reversed, make note of this. If the situation were reversed, a guy that apparently was, by his own words, that Trump told me I need to go kill Democrats, and he showed up at the ball field where the Democrats were practicing and opened fire on them, you know damn well who would get the blame for that. And when it came to anyone who survived, they would not take the line you heard from Congressman Steve Scalise, that I don't blame them, I blame the shooter. They wouldn't even blame the shooter. They would blame Trump. And they would also blame guns. The guns did it. Scalise knows a gun is not the issue. The gun was used to attack, but the gun couldn't have done anything except for the shooter, the person. But of course, that's contrary to the left demands and desires for more extensive gun controls. And they're pushing it. You got to keep your eye on it, and I'll help you. They are pushing it on a continuous basis. You know, that reminds me, I did have at one time a gun shop on the program. In fact, I've had a couple different gun company owners and shooting range owners. I probably need to get another one on board, because I want to go to them occasionally on cases where maybe they can give us the view of Second Amendment as they see it and what they see from their clientele. So I probably need to find somebody out there that has a gun range who wants to be part of Larry Connors USA. But the left would always be blaming the gun and Trump if the situation were reversed. And, of course, the event we had recently at the Capitol Hill on January 6th is to be condemned. I've done it repeatedly. They were not patriots. They might have thought they were acting like patriots, but they weren't. But they also weren't, quote, carrying out an insurrection, as you hear from the left. An insurrection would actually be trying to overturn the government. They were not trying to overturn the government. Were they trying to make sure that they didn't like that the legislators knew that they didn't like the results of the election? They didn't think they should be certified? Yes. And they did delay the certification, but they didn't stop it. They came far short of stopping it. So it wasn't clearly an insurrection, a coup, an overthrow. We've come closer to that from the Democrats as they manufactured evidence that Trump won his election based on Russian collusion. And Hillary Clinton has been more guilty of, quote, insurrection by suggesting Trump was illegally elected, as has Pelosi and others said repeatedly. But they don't get called out, do they? But again, the Capitol Hill event. Steve Scalise says, let's look at that. Let's condemn it. But why not also look at the things and the events that transpired before January 6th?
We all spoke out against what happened on January 6th. And every person that broke into that Capitol needs to be followed and prosecuted by the law. And they are being prosecuted. And many have been arrested already. What disappoints me is that when you look at what happened during the summer, and they were burning down cities, and they were killing cops, and they were killing civilians, we were calling that out, but you didn't see the left calling it out.
And that has been the issue all along, isn't it? Now, yesterday, I let Don Lemon Fruitcake go on a full rant on this program about how hypocrisy, how hypocritical the Republicans are. And I told you, and Don Lemon Fruitcake and the rest of the left have finally discovered the word hypocrisy. They didn't see it when looking in the mirror, which they should have. They saw it because suddenly they can find the word and they can use it against Republicans. And there are cases of hypocrisy among Republicans, clearly. But if you want a clear case of hypocrisy, how can you possibly not speak out against violence in our streets when you've gone beyond the guarantee First Amendment right of peaceful assembly, and you turned it into riot and looting and arson and attacking police and citizens? Why is that not detrimental, and why is that not called out? Is because of who's carrying it out. And I pointed out in news and commentary a moment ago, we still have all this fencing around the nation's capital, around the Capitol. Now, Pelosi does not control the fencing. It's under the jurisdiction of the Capitol Police Board, which consists of the House Sergeant of Arms and so forth. But they certainly could ask that it be pulled down, and they would do it. By the same token, of course, the National Guard troops are apparently going to remain at the Capitol complex through March 15th. So this is primarily Democrats saying, let's leave everything as is. The same ones who say we don't need no stinking fence along the border, and we don't need Border Patrol agents on the border. But we need National Guard troops in the Capitol through March 15th, and we need that fence up. Steve Scalise, Congressman Scalise of Louisiana, says any of this violence, be it the Capitol Hill or what happened over the summer, is wrong.
It might be easy to say when you see your political enemy doing something to criticize them. But if you see it happening on your own side, you have to criticize it as well. I criticized what happened on January 6th, just like you did. They didn't criticize what happened during the summer. Don't act like you have the sanctimony and moral high ground when you're only criticizing your political opponents. If something's wrong, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. There's no place for political violence in our society. That's not who America is. And whoever resorts to violence to settle political disputes needs to be called out.
Do you hear that, Don Lemon Fruitcake? There's your hypocrisy, how the left did not do that. In the previous hour, I talked about the Equality Act in great detail. There are a couple things I want to add to that. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
So in the previous hour, I did an extensive interview that you should listen to if you missed it regarding the Equality Act passed by the House with the support of three Republicans. I list the Republicans on there for you as well. Now, the Equality Act, according to those who passed it, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. No, it's not. It's not. It caters to gender ideology. And I also was talking about how Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, yesterday was questioning Rachel Levine, nominated for a top job at the Department of Health and Human Services. Rachel Levine, a man living as a woman. And Senator Paul was questioning about using drug and procedures to change children's apparent sex. He points out the American College of Pediatrics admits that 80 to 95% of children who are not sure what gender they should be will probably resolve it by late adolescence if they're not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Question for Dr. Levine. Do you believe minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing their sex? Dr. Rachel Levine did not answer the question. Oh, thank you for your interest. This question is very complex. Bottom line is no answer. You and I know a child is not capable of doing that. But these folks are so bent that they accept that, well, it's a good thing to discuss that. I have an email that I got, and you know you can email me numerous ways while we're on the air. Larry Connors USA Facebook, you can post remarks, or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Well, Jan, listening, sent a message to LarryConnorsUSA.com and said, I was in the midst of emailing you when I just now heard you discuss yesterday's hearing of Dr. Levine. And in all caps, Jan wrote, every American should see that charade. Like you, I could care less about Dr. Levine's sexuality, but I do heartily object to having her in charge of anything in government to which my tax dollars go. I am appalled. I agree with you, Jan. Oh, she also added, I might as well pat myself on the back. She did. I give her credit for it. Or you might say blame. It's a thin line between credit and blame, but I'm going to claim it's credit, Jen, as she wrote, I so enjoy your program. I'm delighted you're on the air. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm calling it credit. But the bottom line is, she and I know many of you agree, Dr. Rachel Levine, who cannot answer a simple question that the children, are they really capable of making a life-changing decision that I should have my sex changed? I'm 4 years old. I'm 8 years old. I'm even 12. Should I change my sex? They're not capable of that. Adults often aren't capable of that. And many who have such a change later regret it. Some don't, but many do. But what we have right now is everything that can tear down our culture is being fired at us. The same thing references Equality Act, claiming that this is going to be best for us. It's going to mean things will be better. It will work out for everyone. It will not. It will not. I was looking at quotes earlier from representatives of the Catholic faith saying this is wrong. It's going to destroy everything we're trying to do. It's against, basically against God and what they're doing. Now, whether or not you're a believer in God, you have to believe that you have to recognize these kinds of pieces of legislation that are being built around a minuscule number is at the same time causing concern, not only in religion, but beyond that. We talked about also how this Equality Act is going to affect women's sports. And a women's group is one of the ones, a feminist women's group is one of those coming out opposing it. They're acknowledging that this is not going to be good. Who's it going to help? It's going to help a minuscule number. It's going to be causing total confusion, and it's going to jeopardize many children down the road. Many children down the road. It could lead to suicide because they're so confused by all of this stuffed in their face. Scalise is, I want to hear from Scalise again, reference about how the left can't even debate an issue with you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They've lost the ability to debate ideas. And I'm concerned, you know, especially when you look at the cancel culture on college campuses, which is where people learn how to disagree in a polite way, where you learn how to sharpen your ideas against people with different ideas. Because for goodness sake, if you can't defend what you believe in against someone who believes in something differently, maybe you need to evaluate whether or not you're believing in the right thing. And I think there's an insecurity in the left when they try to cancel us. It's because they know they can't debate us successfully.
You know, those are the words again of Steve Scalise, Congressman, Republican of Louisiana, about how the left not only wants to blame the right for everything, but they cannot have a debate. They cannot have a debate because they don't have the facts. Facts are nasty little things sometimes. From the very group that claims we're all about science, they deny science when it comes to a child being born with or without a penis that says they are a male or female at that point, does it not? But that's why they push this Equality Act forward. They deny science when there's a heartbeat detected in a womb, and that's still not a baby in their opinion. So I don't want to hear them preach to me about science when they're ignoring such things as that. And I told you a moment ago that this Equality Act that the Democrats insist this is the future, this is what we need to deal with. I told you that feminist groups voicing concerns, one of them being the Women's Liberation Front, also known as WOLF, stating While the Equality Act is being sold on promising good things for women and on ending unfair treatment of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, which almost everyone agrees are worthy and important goals, I'll go with that. I'll accept that. We should not be treating unfair those who are lesbian, gay, or bisexual. I mean, that's their preference. I'm not going to judge them. Only one person on this world was ever capable of judging. That was Jesus. And I'm going to leave it to him and God. But it goes on to say the Women's Liberation Front, WOLF, says that this Equality Act, while being sold on promising good things for women, ending unfair treatment of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, which almost everyone agrees are worthy and important goals, it's poisoned with the destruction of the law's ability to allow any accommodations for women on the basis of sex. Let me read that again. It's poisoned with the destruction of the law's ability to allow any accommodations for women on the basis of sex. Be better to say women on the basis of gender, but that's what they're stating here anyway. That's fine. And I also will say it's being sold on promising good things for women. It really doesn't. It doesn't promise anything good to women in that sense. The text of the Equality Act reads, or the text, I should say, an individual should not be denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, a locker room, a dressing room, that is in accordance with the individual's gender identity. Identity. Not biological makeup, but identity. Is there anything good that can come of such a thing? Of course not. But you can't have that debate with the left because they go off the deep end in a hurry. I mean, when Senator Rand Paul was questioning yesterday, Dr. Rachel Levine, a man living as a woman, nominated by President Biden for a top job at the Department of Health and Human Services, and was asking about, do you really think a child is capable of making those questions? You know how the response was from the Democrats? Chuck Schumer said that Paul's medical questions are attacks on trans people and transgender community, just mean and show a lack of understanding, a lack of complete empathy. He said, their despicable comments just make my blood boil with anger. If I didn't have a mask on, you'd see my teeth gritting. Those are the words of Senator Chuck Schumer. All he did was ask of this doctor, Rachel Levine, are children really capable of making such a life-changing decision? Got no answer, but got flashback from the left. Senator Schumer saying, that's a mean question. Senator Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota. I want to say how much I appreciate the dignity and professionalism, Dr. Levine, you demonstrated in responding to Senator Paul. And Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, said, it's critical to me our nominees be treated with respect and our questions focus on their qualifications rather than harmful misrepresentations, like we heard from Senator Paul. It's a question. It's a legitimate question. But they cannot, like Scalise said, they can't deal with debate. CPAC is underway in Florida. The Conservative Political Action Conference, annually held, normally in the D.C. area. But because of COVID shutdowns, they moved to Florida, and it may stay there. Normally, they hold it in D.C. because it's a quick way to have members of Congress to come over and make a quick appearance, a speech or whatever, and then go back to what they need to be doing. But one of those invited was somewhat of a surprise for a lot of folks. They saw this person on the list. And in fact, when the person got up to speak, he also admitted, I'm kind of surprised to be here. It's Alex Berenson, a former New York reporter.
I'm honestly as surprised as any of you that I'm here. If you knew my voting record, you'd think I should be speaking at the ACLU, not CPAC. But times have changed, and the New York Times, where I used to work, has changed. I never would have imagined being on Fox regularly. Well, the Times either ignored me or tried to bash me. But it's not me. It's the Times. And columnists at the New York Times now regularly call for censorship. When you hear Reality Czar, that's censorship. when you hear deplatforming Fox News, trying to get cable companies to drop Fox from their basic tier so that people have to pay extra for it when they don't have to pay extra for MSNBC or CNN, that's censorship. Whether it's government controlled or not, it's censorship.
It is censorship, as he said, whether government controlled or not. Now, we've had this discussion before. The fact that the big tech companies decide to censor or cancel Trump and not allow him to be on their platform, it's censorship. It is not government censorship. But anytime you deny something that would fall under First Amendment, that is censorship. Not government sanctioned. But how dare you call it anything else? And here's Berenson saying it happens all the time. And he said, so I'm here to tell you that times have changed, not me. And by the Times, he's also talking about the New York Times. He said the way they do things. But that point about big tech, Florida Governor DeSantis, who's, of course, hosting this event in Orlando, had also talked about the dangers of big tech and how the state of Florida is dealing with them. Please listen.
Florida is also leading in protecting our people from political censorship and in holding big tech accountable. When our legislature convenes next month, it will pass, and I will sign, the most ambitious reforms yet proposed for combating political censorship and deplatforming, for preventing big tech from interfering in our elections, and for safeguarding the privacy of your personal data.
Well, that is, of course, exactly what you heard from Berenson as to how big tech has gotten involved in daily journalism, supposedly. He, in fact, in his presentation, kind of pulled back the curtain, said, basically, folks, here's how they make the sausage now in today's world when it comes to, quote, journalism.
Reporters spend significant amounts of time looking for people, public figures, usually, but not always, who've said things they consider, words they consider bad, or have spouted ideas they consider bad, and trying to flog those people publicly. I don't know when that became journalism. It seems to be journalism now at the New York Times and other big outlets. But these people are frustrated. They're frustrated because they can't control the debate as completely as they would like. They're frustrated because 75 million people voted for Donald Trump, and they think that's a cataclysm. So they've actually turned to an even more powerful group. They've turned to big tech. They've turned to Amazon and Facebook and Apple and Google, the most powerful companies in the world right now, the biggest companies by market cap, the companies that in an information age are the information. And they've asked those places, they've beat on those places to help them censor. It is amazing to me to see journalists asking technology companies for help in censorship, but that's happening. And tech has agreed to this, partly out of ideology and partly because it's in their interest, it seems.
Those are the words again, Alex Berenson, former New York Times reporter. Well, you look at how he's treated by the left now. Vanity Fair did a piece on him and saying that Alex Berenson is now rebranded as a right-wing media's go-to skeptic and a guy that can diss the left in the process. So that's why he was apparently at CPAC. Well, I'm glad he was. They got to hear from him and hear exactly what's going on with reporters going to big tech. Why don't you just go ahead and say, give your subject, you write the story, and I'll just sign off on it. DeSantis had some remarks about Rush also. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the battles ahead will be made more difficult without the voice of one of our greatest field generals, my friend, Rush Limbaugh. On Wednesday, the state of Florida had the flags flown at half staff in honor of Rush, in honor of his legacy. Rush displayed the courage of his convictions time and time again. Rush was one of the first to fight and win against cancel culture. Rush showed that fighting the left requires strength and that conservatism devoid of backbone is doomed to fail.
Those are the words of Florida Governor DeSantis in addressing the crowd at CPAC about Rush and his contribution to freedom, to conservatism, to America. And yet, in the midst of all of this, we still have those who want to deny the very freedoms that we need to stand up to. And we have those who will preach on one hand and say, oh, we're all about inclusiveness. We're all about everyone being alike. Unless you're not walking in our path, then we're not alike. And as he said, we need to have the courage to stand up. We need to call them out. I order stuff through Amazon. Yeah, I'm on their Amazon Prime. I see some of the programming. And there are some other products and or sources I might rely on or use for that philosophically, politically, maybe even religiously, I'd have difference of opinions with. I'm not big on boycotting just because I'm not saying you can't have an effect on it, but bottom line is I'll make my own decision, thank you, even if others will say, well, you can't be supporting Amazon based on this story you're going to tell me next. I said, well, I do, and I probably will. If I decide not to, then that'll be my decision. And I'm talking about what Amazon is doing as we begin to wrap up this month, which is Black History Month. I pointed this out earlier, but again, based upon what you just heard from DeSantis about how we need to stand up, make sure where we are, and that we are willing to face those who come after us if they don't like it. We need to be ready to take action. We need to be able to defend what we want. As he said, Rush enabled many people to do that didn't have the ability prior to that time. Amazon, in this month to celebrate Black History, took a PBS project and refused to stream it. PBS documentary titled Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. A documentary about our nation's only black justice currently on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, you would think that that would be something even the left would say, well, that's a remarkable thing. It should be given some attention. No. And the left doesn't make an outcry over it. Amazon did a piece on Thurgood Marshall and Anita Hill. That was all fine. But they can't do Thomas because he has conservative views. If you look at his history, his story is pretty incredible for every American, especially black Americans. Born in 1948, deep poverty, deep South, segregated Georgia. Born and living under Jim Crow laws. His parents had no education. Father left the family before he was two. When he was 70, and his grandson, or rather, I should say his brother, was sent to live with grandparents. Grandfather was not educated, but he had a small business delivering oil, coal, firewood, ice in Savannah. Grandfather was tough on Thomas and his younger brother, taught them hard work and perseverance. In fact, he quotes his grandfather saying, "Old man Kent is dead. I helped bury him." In other words, you can do anything you want and try. Thomas was taught by Irish nuns in a segregated Catholic school, attended seminary for high school, but then he actually broke away from his faith, his grandfather and everything. He began to embrace the idea of the Black Panthers, the radical left. Did you know Justice Thomas did that? He did. But eventually began to realize that's the wrong path. And he embraced a view that believed in individual rights, not group rights. He said our most important principle is found in the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. Is that not something of value to take note of in Black Lives Matter? Are the writings of Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams, both writing for decades about how liberal social policies, beginning with the Great Society, may have failed us miserably, failed us and the black community? But unfortunately, if you want to espouse conservative views and you're a person of color, you are discounted. You are discounted. You are meaningless. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Spread the word. I appreciate it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.